Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 3. I had a number of things rolling around in my spirit. And I know that Father is not the author of confusion. So it's like, all right, Lord, I'm not going to do anything until you give me clear direction as to what you want to say tonight. And he did. You know, he doesn't always use whatever conventional means are. He doesn't always use them with me. I can be in a conversation. I can see a billboard. I can watch a program, anything. And all of a sudden, God will start talking to me. And I'll just pull out a lot of times my wife. And we're having a conversation. I say, honey, hold on. Wait 1 minute. I have to get my iPad because something she said struck a thought. So I had to write those notes down. But in John 3:16, out of the Message Bible, verses 16 and 17, it says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And I always elaborate on this. We have to stop pointing accusing fingers at sinners. They can't help it. They sinners. That's what sinners do. That's what you used to do. That's what I used to do. Sin. We have to help. We have to help them get it right again. Stop looking at the person. Stop looking at the person. Stop looking at the person. Because when you do that, you begin to categorize sin. And you look at, well, this is horrible. Well, this isn't so bad. All sin is horrible, regardless of how it comes. Amen? Amen. Amen. How many of you want to be right in the middle of God's perfect will? Okay. Look at Jeremiah 29. This is out of the Amplified Bible. God says, verse 11, for I know. See, there are a lot of times people will make that statement about things. You'll talk and say, I know. No, you don't. God knows. He said, I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And how many of us believe that? Okay. What does that verse mean? What does it infer? Telling you, if you want to be successful, if you want to experience God's peace, then you need to find out his plans and his thoughts for you and get along with his program. If you don't have peace and you don't have well-being, you may have 100 different reasons as to why, but you may want to consider maybe you're not in the perfect will of God. Maybe your thoughts are not his thoughts. Maybe your will is not his will. Maybe you're doing what you want to do. Maybe you're leaning to your own understanding, and it's not lining up with what God has for you. Because he said, or maybe you just flat out don't want to do it. I mean, that's always can happen. God, how many of you, honestly, how many of you, God told you to do something, you're like, I won't do that. I mean, that's the way it is. You're not going to be that way after tonight. Okay? I've shared this a number of times. I'm going to say it again. We cannot do God's will our way. Tell you, look at your neighbor, say, you can't do God's will your way. Okay. All right. You have to do God's will His way. I mean, that's seems so simple, but we always seem to mess that up, okay? Because we have these thoughts and these feelings and these wants and desires, and God's will sometimes gets in the way, and you can't do it. And so we make choices. We make choices. Look at 1 Peter 2. Because God gave us really a simple roadmap. He gave us many. This is just one of them. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. This is in the Good News Bible. It says, "It was to this that God called you, for Christ himself suffered for you and left you an example so that you would do what?" That you would do what? Follow in his steps. The Message Bible says this is the kind of life you've been invited into, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done. And you think about that. He suffered so that you know it can be done. And also know how to do it step by step. It really can't get any plainer than that. How many of you use a GPS to travel? See? No, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with using a GPS. Thank God for the technology. That GPS system will give you turn-by-turn directions to someplace you've never been before. It'll even tell you the traffic patterns. It can tell you obstructions, and it'll ask you, do you want to reroute around the instructions? Those of you with a heavy foot, it'll even tell you where the police are when you're out there. I mean, he'll tell you that. But even with all of that technology, it will be of no benefit to you if you don't submit to it. If it tells you where to go and you decide you don't want to go that way, you don't like that part of town it's directing you to, this road is unfamiliar to me. I'm not used to going that way. This road is bumpy. Oh, yeah, there's no traffic, but it's bumpy. This isn't comfortable. But it will get you there. And most of these GPS systems, you can set it, and it will give you the fastest route. So the way it is taking you is the fastest way to get to your destination. But we won't like it, so we'll go somewhere else. We did that once. I said, why did you tell us to go that way? That's dumb. And went another way. We can sit in traffic for 20 minutes. Had to change that's dumb to I was dumb. I mean, I don't have a satellite in my head that sees everything. We need to understand that. God sees everything. He knows what's going to happen before it happened. Even the satellite can't do that. And he will give us directions. And we don't like them. So we don't do them. And here's a reason why. In the Proverbs 16, yeah, verses 2 and 3. This is the problem. Verse 2, here is the problem. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. No matter what we do, we think we are. Okay. It says, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. See, this is telling us the problem and giving us the solution. It's telling us that, yeah, we think we're right, but if we submit ourselves to the Lord, the Dewey Ream says, all the ways of man are open to his eyes, but the Lord is the weigher of spirits. Lay open thy works to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be directed. See, when you commit yourself to God, he'll get your thoughts in line. The voice says, even when you think you have good intentions, he knows your real motives. Whatever you do, do it as a service to him, and he will guarantee your success. How many of you want guaranteed success? Amen. Now listen to the Amplified Bible. Take a deep breath. All right. You can hold your neighbor's hand if you need to. Because all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 3. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. See, when we commit fully to God, that commitment will cause our thoughts to be agreeable to God's will. We'll no longer have like a mind of our own. Is this brushing against my... Oh, because I'm hearing scratching when I move my head. Don't move my head? Oh, okay. Folks, if we're going to receive all that God has for us, and we are, everything, all of his, everything that he's thought about and everything that he has planned. See, God, you're not where you are by chance. God thought about this. He thought of every single step. He planned it all out. And all we have to do is be committed to it. As always, I look at the word committed. It means to give into the hands of another. See, when you're fully committed to God, you've given yourself over to him. Period. It means give over into one's power or use. When you're fully committed, you no longer have a say in what it is that you're doing because you've given yourself over. And whatever that other person has for you, you do because you've committed to it. It means to deliver yourself to one to keep, use, take care of, or manage. And you can add, as they please, not as you please. The dictionary says it's to give in. It's to consign yourself. It's to commit yourself, to pledge yourself, to obligate yourself, to entrust. It says to commit one's soul to God. That means commit. Look at Colossians 3. Verse 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, are we not? Yes. And we're hid in Christ in God. So that means if we're in God, then wherever he is, we are. See, this little figurine, okay, someone thinks strong. See? Strong in the power of his mighty things. But if he commits himself to me, he's in me. And I want to go over here, guess where he goes? He has no say in it. He's in me. If I want to keep going and go over here, he's got to come. Doesn't matter if he doesn't like the dark. If that's where I want to go, that's where he has to go. But at any time, he can decide, you know something? I don't believe that that's what God called me to do. God called me to play the piano. So he stays over here at the piano. But God wants him over here. But he doesn't like that. He wants to stay over there. God will let you stay there. He'll let you stay there. And he'll keep moving. You'll be stuck. You won't have any peace. You won't have any success. And you'll wonder why. And then you'll say, God, I'm doing what you told me. No, you're doing what you want, not what he told you, because you decided you didn't want to stay dead. Now, I'm going to try and really give you an easy revelation about being, about what it means to be committed. You may have heard this before, but I was in a meeting. I was on the youth fellowship staff. We're meeting with the youth director then. It was Melvin Duckenfield. He's a funny guy. He's a joke a minute. He really is. And he was sharing with the group, you know, his staff, because it appeared that some folks weren't living up to their obligations. And he wanted them to understand what it means. He said, you have to be committed. He said, the children are depending on you. You know, you have to be committed. And he said, and if you want to understand commitment, all you have to do is think about breakfast. He said, the chicken was a participant, but the pig was committed. Okay. Okay. You need to think about that. The pig gave himself over to someone else's power for use. The pig pledged himself to the intentions of something else. The chicken just gave a little donation and went on about his business. I mean, that's... But if you're talking about being committed, you're talking about giving your life. That's what you're talking about. You're making a conscious choice that you're going to give your life to God. And then you're going to put a period there. We use the wrong punctuations. Now, I want you to understand these two things. I'm really not going, I don't think I'm going to keep you too long tonight. There are varying levels and priorities of commitment. We need to understand that. Look at Luke 12. This is a problem that a lot of folks have when it calls for commitment. Luke 12, verse 50, and I'm in the Phillips New Testament, and I'm going to share a portion from the Message Bible. It says, much will be expected from the one who has been given much. And the more a man is trusted, the more people will expect of him. We need to understand that. You know, a lot of people, they want position. They want more responsibility. Well, the more responsibility you have, the more people that are depending on you. And you can't get upset about that. You can't say, well, this is too much. This is what you wanted. This is what you accepted. This comes with the territory. And we have to learn how to accept it. The Message Bible says great gifts mean great responsibility. Greater gifts, greater responsibility. It's just that simple. But see, if you're fully committed, if you are fully committed, you don't even have to think about how to handle it. As you're going on doing what you're supposed to do, guess what? It'll work out. Because you will always be in the middle of God's plans and purposes for you. And he already said that his plans for you is for you to have peace. And if those things can't get handled, don't get handled, you won't have peace. But if you're fully committed to God and you're doing everything exactly the way he's told you, you'll have peace. Because anything that tries to disrupt your peace, he is obligated to handle it. Because that's what he said his plans were, for us, for our peace and our well-being. His thoughts and plans for you are not for disaster. And disaster is just what we'll have if we're not fully committed to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Because the second thing I want you to remember is God will show you how to prioritize multiple commitments. Because no one has only one commitment. Everyone has multiple commitments. So what do you do first? You know, what is, you know, the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God. Okay, does that mean that I don't go to my daughter or my granddaughter's school play? Not necessarily. See, I'm not going to say, yes, it does, no, it don't. Not necessarily. I wonder how I can say that. I don't have the purpose and the plan for your life. I'm not the one who called you. But it said, let all things be done, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. God is not going to have you do things that are out of order. He's not. See, the key, what we want to understand is God has first place. And you commit yourself to God. He'll tell you. If he gives you a family, he expects you to be committed to your family and do the things he tells you to do concerning your family. And because if you're committed to God, you'll do right by your family. You can't do right by your family if you're not committed to God. He'll send you to a church and expect you to be committed to that church. Because he put you there, he gave you pastors after his own heart, and he expects you to be there and do what he puts you there to do. And if you're and he'll work it out if there's a conflict between church and home. He'll tell you what to do. He's the one that gave you your place of employment. And I'll tell you, he didn't give you a place of employment that will keep you away from church. But if you find yourself in that position, you need to ask him. He'll tell you what you need to do so you can keep your commitments. But if you don't stay committed to God, you won't be able to handle any of those things. You know why? Because you'll be doing it under your own strength and your own understanding. And you will make the wrong choice and have to go back to God to get it fixed anyway. I'm just suggesting we go to God first and have peace. He said that if you commit to and totally trust him, he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and you will be at peace. Look at Matthew 26. I wasn't thinking about this scripture today. It must have been about 6:30 that he told me to read this. 6:30 this evening. I'm in the King James, starting at verse 36 of Matthew 26. So then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. What was he going to do? Okay, remember that. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and what? Very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. At that moment, folks, he wasn't experiencing peace. And he knew it, but he also knew what to do about it. He said to them, tarry ye here and watch with me. And then he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. See, he was letting God know that even though he didn't want to endure what was coming, he was going to remain fully committed. Even though what was coming had him sorrowful to the point he felt like he was dying, and he couldn't go. We went a little further, it says, and he fell to his knees because he was so burdened by this thing. But he was committed. He wouldn't allow himself to stay like that. He's like, I got to get rid of this. I have to go to the cross. Doesn't matter that I don't want to. It's not about what I want. I am committed to my Father. And if this is what he tells me I have to endure, then this is what I'm going to endure. And he's going to have to give me the strength and get me ready. He said, so he went there and he prayed. And he came back to the disciples. They were asleep. And he said, well, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. He didn't go to pieces, folks, because when he prayed the first time, he didn't sense any results. He didn't say, oh, well, I tried that, didn't work. I'm getting out of here. No, he said, I'm going to pray again. Because I have to do this thing that I've been called. I have to do this thing that Father assigned me to do. I have to do this thing that I said, yes, I will do it. And whatever it takes for me to do it, Father, you have to give it to me. Because I don't want my will to be done. I want your will to be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Can you imagine what their eyes would have been if they knew what was about to happen? Right. And he left them and went again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then when he went to his disciples, he said, sleep on now, take your rest. The hour is now at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And then he says to them, rise, let's be going. Behold, he that is at hand that doth betray me. Look, when he went to his disciples, he didn't murmur or complain about his assignment. He didn't say, God, he's put me in this position, and now I'm going to have to go to the cross and die, and you know, I'm feeling some kind of way about this, and I prayed to God, and he didn't do anything about it. No, he didn't say. He said, come on, time to go. Why? Because now he had peace. His soul is no longer, you know, in agony. He doesn't feel like he's about to die anymore. He got energized. He got what he needed so that he could finish. See, he didn't complain. He dropped to his knees and prayed. And folks, there are times when you're given an assignment, you're going to have to drop to your knees and you're going to have to pray. And be honest with God. You say, God, I know I said yes, but I didn't expect this. But I'm going to finish this, Lord. I'm going to do it the right way too, because it's not about me. It's about being committed to you. He said, well, how long till you do that? Until you can get up and go and finish. And don't say, good, I can do this every day or week and keep pushing this thing off. No, it's not going to go away. See, Jesus had it settled. Look at John 4. Verse 34. And I'm in the easy to read translation. Jesus said, my food is to do what the one who sent me wants me to do. He said, my food is to finish the work that he gave me to do. What do you say by my food? He said, what keeps me going? What nourishes me? How I get my energy? is by doing what the Father wants me to do. That's what keeps me energized. Why? Because it's His responsibility. It's God's responsibility to keep you equipped to do what He's called you to do. You just have to stay fully committed. You have to always be willing to just not to keep giving yourself. Once you've given yourself, stay there. Don't pull away and go play the piano. In John 14, in the Amplified Bible, starting with verse 15 and 21, He said, if you really love me, you'll keep, obey my commands. See, He was saying, if you really love me, you'll be fully committed. Verse 21, He said, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. The person who has my command and keeps them is the one who's fully committed to me. Because if you're not fully committed, you won't keep them. At some point, you'll start doing your words and not His words. He said, and whoever really loves me, whoever is fully committed to me, will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him, and I will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Real, when it's made real, you see it. There's no doubt. And if you want to get in, be in that position when you clearly see God, you got to be fully committed. And you got to stay fully committed, no matter what the assignment is or how many they are. The key is you said yes. And once you said yes, now you have to act like you meant yes when you said it. This was a tough one. John 15, verses 12 to 13, the King James Bible. Said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Too many of us have issues with that. And if we have issues with that, we really get shaken by the next verse. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See, we talk a lot about love, but when we are fully committed, we'll act out love. And it won't be second nature, it will be our nature. In the Expanded Bible, it says the greatest love a person can show is to die for his friends. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus' death is the ultimate expression of this principle. You'll never lay down your life for anybody if you're not fully committed. Because you can't. You won't have the strength. You won't have the resolve. You'll probably run away and throw your friend in front of the bullet. Because you're not fully committed. God said He knows. He knows the plans that He has for you. He knows the thoughts that He has for you. And they're thoughts to make you prosperous. There's thoughts to give you peace. They're thoughts to cause you to be successful. But we're going to have to stay fully committed. We have to stop complaining about our kingdom responsibilities and remember that we are fully committed because we are dead. Okay, get up from the piano. Unless God called you to be a psalmist. Okay? And get back hidden in Christ. So you can, again, go where He wants you to go. When you've heard this before, We have to do what God says, when God says, and how God says. We have to stop leaning to our own understanding, because see, that's what a person who's not fully committed will do. They will lean to their own understanding because they don't like where their assignment takes them. So you start rationalizing. And you actually recruit other people. You do. You'll talk to them. And they'll say, yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me either. Why would they have you do that? You sure you're in the right church? And you're like, that's what I'm saying. He said, oh, man, God speaks to you. So that's it. Don't you hear the voice of God? Yeah, well, so you go with what you hear. No, you follow orders. We say we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. Well, God has a commander in chief who gives us orders. See, in battle, if you're in the midst of on the battlefield and you disobey an order, your commanding officer is obligated to shoot you. I'm serious, right? Because you've become a danger to the mission. And they're not going to sacrifice everybody else in the mission because you're leaning to your own understanding. I wonder how many people would be walking around if God did that. Everybody say, thank God for grace. Folks, really, I'm closing, but I just want to say it again. God knows the plans that He has for you. I didn't grow up wanting to be a professional athlete. Never entered my mind. The only reason I learned how to play basketball was I got embarrassed by the coach at the high school when I was a freshman. I didn't know what a basketball was. I didn't know what those things were on the side. I never saw anyone doing anything with them. Never watched the game on TV. Yes, I am black. Okay. All right. But I didn't know. And one of my friends said, Feats, because that's what they called me then. They didn't understand grammar. Okay. So they said, Feats, let's go to basketball tryouts. I'm like, what's that? Said, come on, we'll have fun. Okay. So they put you on a layup line. I haven't a clue. That's what I'm doing. This is unorganized, disorganized. I mean, they really should have taken the basketball out of my hand and threw me out of the gym. I mean, that's how bad I was. Because I didn't know this game. I'd never seen a basketball. Never. Until my freshman year in high school. The first time I ever saw a basketball. And when this coach didn't, you know, do on TV, list the people that made the cut. No, he called out the ones that didn't. And he said, Gregory Carr. You're the lousiest excuse for an athlete I've ever seen. A fairy godmother couldn't turn you into a ball player. That's what he said to me in front of everybody at Thomas Edison High School. That's what he said. And I'm like, I'm going to make him eat those words. That's why I learned how to play. I didn't make the team until my senior year. At Woodrow Wilson High School, but I was committed to learning this game. I'd be in the park every free moment. I'd walk down the street dribbling the basketball. I don't even know, didn't even think about the distance. But I believe, let's see, from the Rockaway Boulevard, you look at from on the Van Wyck from Rockaway Boulevard to to about four blocks past the Linden Boulevard exit. Okay. Or I'd go from 140th Street to 155th Street. I like that one better because usually there was no one there. So I could just look like a fool and no one would see while I'm learning this game. But when I made the team, I was so good that they took me on, and I was a starter as a senior. Usually they don't take seniors because you can't be part of their program. And about the third or fourth game we played was against Thomas Edison. And needless to say, it, as Deacon Gerald would say, it wasn't pretty at all. I had over 30 rebounds. I blocked 10 shots. You know, I had 17 or 23 points, something like that. I don't even remember anymore. And I told the coach after, I said, "You don't remember me." I told him. I also grew during that time. I said, "But you once told me that a fairy godmother couldn't turn me into a ball player." I said, "And you were right. Fairy godmother couldn't do it, but I did." You know. But I was committed, folks. No, it would be raining, I'd be in the park. It's snowing, I'm in the park. I'm watching games now on television. And I'm watching what folks do because I hadn't a clue. But I was committed. So it doesn't matter that you don't feel like you're qualified for what God has for you. You don't have to be qualified. You have to be committed. He'll qualify you. He'll tell you what to do. I didn't have a trainer telling me this is what you do. I watched and I imitated. We have a trainer. We have the Holy Ghost who'll tell us exactly what we are to do. But we have to be fully committed, folks. I'm telling you will surprise yourself when you see what you can accomplish. Once you develop a mindset, I'm committed to, I'm like that pig at breakfast. I'm committed to this. Heart, soul, every part of me. I'm committed. Why don't you stand? I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to play a song. Hallelujah. 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 I give my life fully committed to you. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I strongly urge you, if you've been one and you know that you haven't been fully committed. Well, how do I know that? Because you insert you instead of him. All you need to do is just take a moment. Doesn't have to be now. And just repent and get it right. And he'll show you where you stepped off. And you may have to go back and pick up. You're fully committed now, so it doesn't matter. Because you'll have peace. How many of you like peace? You have to be fully committed to God's will, and you will always have peace. How many of you like thrill rides? Remain fully committed. Now, I'm serious. You'll find yourself doing things that you never thought possible. Be more excited than any thrill ride you've ever taken. I would tell that to the children. I'd say, "So being a Christian is boring." I said, "Really?" I said, "Tell you what you do. When you go to school next week at lunchtime, stand on the table and say, 'Stop, we're going to bless our foods first.'" You know? And they looked at me and said, "Tell them," I said, "You see who's working in the kitchen and we're going to eat that? No, we're going to bless our food." That'll be exciting. See, you have to do something. Amen? So will you get it right? Good. Well, I'm assuming everybody else got it right. All right. So whatever it is that God's told you. See, if you're fully committed to this ministry, and this isn't a commercial, But if you're fully committed to this ministry, we won't have to implore folks to come out and volunteer. You'll be calling. I have some free time. Anything you need, any help you need. And then when the folks come too, they'll tell you what they need. I figured. No, I'm just teasing you. They're not gonna pass out when you call for help. But seriously, you need to just come. God's gonna direct you. You just want to be obedient. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you, Lord. You always make things so simple. And we appreciate that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you manifest yourself to each and every one of us. And you'll let us know exactly what it is you want us to do. Only this time, Lord, you'll find that we're fully committed to your will, to your way. And whatever sacrifices we need to make, first of all, we're not going to see them as sacrifices. We're going to see them as opportunities. Because, see, Lord, we don't have to do your will. We get to do your will. Because you love us, and we love you. So we thank you, Lord, that each day, each moment, you'll show us just which way we're supposed to go. You'll order our stops and our starts. Our lefts and our rights. You'll tell us when to go forward and when to back up. And we'll be committed and do exactly what you say. And I thank you, Father, that as these folks travel home, no evil shall befall them, no plague will come near them, because you've given ministering angels charge over them, and they keep them in all their ways. We thank you, Father, that they will not have any accidents on their way home. We thank you because you said that you keep our coming out and our going in henceforth and forevermore. So we declare that as we travel, we will not encounter anything that will affect us in a negative way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, just before we go, can't be fully committed to God without going through Jesus Christ.